for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, February the 19th, 1999. First service of the Women's Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Linda Sutter Olson of Oshkosh, Wisconsin is the speaker of the evening.
93, I was diagnosed with brain cancer, and some people thought I died. I called somebody a while back, and there was just silence on the line. They thought I had died, and they actually thought it was a voice from heaven calling them with a message. But I was diagnosed, and I'll tell you what, I only say this to give testimony to God. And the doctor said I needed surgery right away. And not to wait on it, I went to Mayo Clinic. They said the same thing. The head neurosurgeon at Mayo said, this is serious. You got to do something. Sent x-rays out to the University of Virginia, and they said the same thing. And another doctor said the same thing. And when I thought about it, I thought, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to trust God for each day, because they said, hey, you can remove it. You can have radiation. You can have chemotherapy, but it's just going to come back. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. I says, I'm not going to do it. God gave, just a week ago, yesterday, God gave me another infusion of life, the kind of life that Mildred is talking about. I'll tell you, it's real. Infusion of life. And the very next day, I slept on the floor all night in Chicago at the airport there. And when I got home, I didn't feel like I had much life. But I'll tell you what, that was just the enemy saying I hadn't changed, that I was just bad off as I had ever been. But I'll tell you what, there's something working inside of me. Hallelujah. I thank God for that testimony. You don't have to believe the report of doctors. Whose report are we going to believe? We're going to believe the report of the Lord. Hallelujah. So let's just pray for the Word as we minister it tonight. Lord Jesus, we thank You for the Word. We thank You that the Word cleanses. The Word makes us alive. We thank You, Heavenly Father, that it changes us. And so we pray tonight that it will do just that, that it will change us, and that God, everybody who has a need here tonight, whatever it might be, if it is healing, deliverance, whatever it may be, let it come through the ministry of the Word in Jesus' name. And we thank You for it, Lord. Amen. You can be seated. Hallelujah. You know, in 1964, when I was in Bible school, I took a class on revivals that was taught by Robert Cummings. And he's been with the Lord for many years now, but he had been a missionary in India and Pakistan. And it was an early morning class, and I didn't realize what a tremendous privilege it would be to sit and listen to this man who had walked with God many, many years and had seen many moves of the Spirit, to sit in his class. I'd come to school in the morning, and he would have already been up since about 4 o'clock, praying for the mission field, the places that he had been. And as we did this study on revivals, he told us something that I have never forgotten. He said, every move of God has been stopped by one thing. And he said, it's by bitterness that creeps in to the body. Bitterness and resentment, backbiting, they kind of all go together, don't they? And so that stuck with me all through these years. And I'll have to say that in my limited experience, I've seen a few moves of God that have started and have continued on, and there's quite a number that are going on now in different places. And the ones that I have seen come and go have generally went because there's been a root of bitterness that has begun to rise up in the midst. And so I want us to look at Ephesians tonight. We don't have to let that happen, do we? We don't have to let that happen. Thank you. And the Apostle Paul, when he's writing to the Ephesians, he says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And then it says something else. It says, Don't give the devil a foothold. How many know that when you get mad, when you get angry, dogs get mad, people get angry, okay? But when you get angry, you're just opening the door for the enemy to come in and to camp at your doorstep, to live at your residence when you get angry and hold on to it. Amen? I don't know if any of you know about this besides me, but I've learned a few things about myself in the last few years since I got married. I found out, I thought I had lived, you see, I didn't get married until I was 50. You know, never been married before. The prophets all took a sigh of relief when I got married because they'd all been prophesying, you know, he's coming. I'll tell you what, ladies, if God's been prophesying something to you, you know, hold on. The Lord spoke to me and said I'd get married, you know, later in life. Now, that was when I was 19. But I thought later in life was 30, you know. And so 30 came and went, and I thought, well, maybe it's going to be in my 40s. And the 40s came and went, and the prophets had kind of just died down by this time. They had one prophet in particular, honest, he breathed a sigh of relief. I'm on his mailing list, and as soon as I said I do, that mailing label changed from Linda Sutter to Bob and Linda Olson. I didn't even have to tell him. And the 40s came and went, and I hit 50, and I turned 50 in March, and of course, I'd known my husband for many, many years. He and his former wife, who went to be with the Lord, had been very good friends of mine, but he came on the scene in April, and I'm thinking, when I was 50, I thought, man, first of all, I didn't think I'd live to be that old. And you know how it is when you're 16, 17, 18. And I remember sitting down and calculating how old I would be when the year 2000 came. You know, and I thought, 56, I'll never live to be that old. That just can't happen that I'm going to be around to see 2000 come in. Well, now some of you, like Sister Mildred here, I know that 55 probably seems a little young to you. But when I was 17, 18, 19, it was old for me. And so anyway, why did I get off on that? Oh, to say this, that I thought I was a saint. You know, I lived alone all those years. I thought I was a saint. Nobody rattled my cage. And if somebody did, I'd just say, hey, I'm out of here. You know, I'd go to a church. I'd have meetings, you know, and if there was a little problem that came up, usually didn't happen when I was there. I mean, I was out of there. Pastor could handle any problems that came up. You know, something I said that maybe got somebody riled. I'm out of here. And I went on to the next place. And I did that for a long, long time. Well, how many know that there's a lot of things about yourself you don't know if you're always continually running from place to place? When the heat gets on, you're out of there. You're to the next place. You know, I'd been married 3 weeks. And I thought to myself, oh, God, I've made a mistake. I thought, I'll just get an annulment. You know, my friends will understand. Glenn will let me come back and minister. I hadn't talked with him about it, but I was thinking about this and thinking, this isn't happening to anybody else. None of the people I know are going through the kind of things that I'm going through and are facing the kind of things I'm facing. And all the time, it's about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm thinking, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. And all the time I'm thinking I'm out of here, I'm measuring the windows for curtains. You know, and I realized at the moment how ludicrous that was, that I'm saying with my voice, I'm out of here. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm digging in. I'm getting new curtains for these rooms. Well, I'll tell you what. I said that to say I found out some things about myself that I didn't know existed before. And one day, and it hasn't been all that long ago, and I have a wonderful husband, ladies. He's just the right temperament and personality for me. We just flow together and in ministry, and he's a sweetheart. I really love him. And every once in a while, we might have a little spat about something. I don't know if the rest of you do. But I found that, you know, before when I was single, I could get up and I knew what the Word said. You know, I knew what the Word said. And I could share the Word with my married sisters. But I realized, and they realized, that all I knew was theory. And I'd say, well, truth is truth. But I'll tell you what, it's one thing to say it, and it's another thing to walk in it. Amen? It's another thing. So my husband, we'd had a little disagreement about something, and he invited me to come out and sit down at the kitchen table. We were going to have a talk. And I went out and I sat down at the table, and he says, "Now, Linda," he said, and when he calls me Linda, I know I better listen. He says, "Linda," he says, "I want to tell you something." He said, "You're a good wife." And he was telling me these different things about my about myself and that I agreed with. But he said, "It doesn't matter." He says, "You complain about everything." And he said it twice. "You complain about everything." And I listened to him and I thought, you know, he's right. He is right. I complained. He just detailed a few of the things I complained about. And I looked at him and I says, "You're right, honey." And I says, "By the great," and I'm only saying this to encourage you ladies, okay? All right? I says, "You're right, honey, and I'll tell you what. I'm going to quit. I'm not going to complain anymore by the help of God, with the help of God." Well, you know how that is. You know, you make a determination. But I want to tell you something. Something changed at that moment. You know, my best friends and my sister could have told me that I complained. And I probably would have argued with them about it. And I was ready to argue with my husband, but I knew that he was very slow to say anything detrimental to me. And when I thought about that, all of a sudden, the windows rolled open. I mean, the blinders came off my eyes. And I began to see just how much I had grieved, not my husband, how much I had grieved the Holy Spirit. Scripture says, don't give the devil a foothold. Don't give place to the devil. And I want to say, ladies, tonight, our first step in getting any kind of deliverance is that you have got to make a choice that you don't want to be that way anymore. You hear me? It's as simple as making a choice. I preach about that a lot of times when I come here, that you have at you. Amen. Man, I get a witness. You have to choose to want to change. And so the Lord began just showing me these areas in my heart. And I thought, I've got to call some people up. I called my sister. I called my friend. I called another friend. I called another friend. I called another friend. And I says, "You've got to forgive me for complaining." And you know what? Not one of them said, "You haven't complained." They said, "I forgive you." You know, my sister says, "Well, you got to talk to somebody." And I thought, well, I've talked to too many people and I've complained. I think I called Jean back here and I said, "You got to forgive me because I have complained and complained and complained." And, you know, I've never seen a complainer yet who's happy. Amen. And I see a real close correlation between complaining and bitterness. And I wondered about that word bitterness. And I'm not a Greek scholar or a Hebrew scholar, but you get into the Strong's Concordance and you get a bit of a glimpse of the extent of this word bitterness. And I want to tell you, when you look at the word, the Greek word for bitterness, it means to be wrung out and pressed down. And I'm thinking, how does that relate to bitterness? And I remember, you know, I have a problem with eating things that are sour, but if somebody offers me a lemon or a lemonade, I just feel things begin to dry up inside. My glands begin to hurt, you know, if you're like I am. And it just kind of sucks the life right out of you. And I'll tell you what, ladies, when you've got that bitterness working in you, it just presses on you and wrings the life and the life of God right out of you. And I was a complainer and I was a preacher. And I'll tell you what, those two don't go together. And until my husband said that, I didn't see it. And then after I saw it, I began to get embarrassed. And, you know, that of course, the devil would like you to stay embarrassed. You know, that's not freedom to be embarrassed. You know, God wants, that's a spirit too, but God wants to set you completely free so you can walk and you can go right down the street with your head up and be able to say, "That's what I was and this is what I am." And talk about, you can't talk about overcoming and be a complainer. You can't talk about walking into life and be full of any kind of bitterness. Amen. Now, bitterness, I mean, it even goes beyond that. It means to pack down. Really packed down. And you know, when you see a bitter person, I was just sharing this with Mildred just before we came in the door tonight, and she said something that I knew. When you see a bitter person, you'll see they're all, not always, but very often they'll be all shriveled up. Just all shriveled up. No life in them. You know, David, in Psalm 32, I think it is, when he was confessing his sin, to the Lord and his sin with Bathsheba, he talked about how his bones waxed old, how his through his roaring all the night long. I couldn't understand that when I was a child, but you know, when you've got some unconfessed sin in your life, it just saps the life right out of you. Jesus said in John 10:10, you, most of you know it, I'm sure, "I have come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly." That life there, that's the word from which we get vitality. You know, Jesus has given you absolutely everything you need to live an overcoming life. You let that life of Jesus begin to flow in your veins, and he will give you victory over all of those things that have warred against you. You know, in my family, that bitterness, I have to say it was a familiar spirit. My grandfather was bitter. My mother was bitter. My uncles were bitter. And the thing that is sad about it is that there was no deliverance for them. This one uncle of mine, he would talk about how angry he was and bitter he was against our grandfather because he was such a harsh taskmaster. This man was 70 years old when he was telling me this. And my grandfather had been dead for years. And he said he would think about that. You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You're not around anybody for very long, then you begin to hear what is what the abundance of their heart is. And as he was talking about this, he said, you know, he says, "I go to bed at night, and he says, I'll dream. And he says, in my dream, I'll be fighting with my father." And I'm thinking, that's terrible. That's horrible that he has to be bound by that kind of thing in his life. You know, that's a horrible existence, isn't it? Horrible existence. When you see somebody who is so chained to the past, all they remember is the bad things. I'll tell you what, ladies, life is not fair. You hear that? Not the kind of life Jesus was talking about, but I'm just talking about living in this world. Things are going to happen to you, and it's not fair. Things are going to happen to you and probably have happened to you that you have a right, you may feel, to be bitter. You've got a right to feel the way you do. I'll tell you what, you can hold on to that thinking and it is going to be death to you. Life just isn't fair. All kinds of things are going to happen is going to try to quench the gift of God in you. And I'll tell you what, when I made that decision, I wasn't going to complain anymore. That was not the end of it. That wasn't the end. What do you think happened? You know, I repented and I went forward, but then the devil comes back. Just when you're thinking everything is under control, here comes these thoughts. And I'll tell you, you can choose to think a thought. You can rebuke it and it'll still come back. But I'll tell you, I have learned something. I have learned that for me, one of the best things I can do, because see, the scripture says that when we pray in the Spirit, we pray according to the will of God. And you can begin to pray in the Spirit. You can begin to pray in tongues, and I'll tell you what, things have got to go. At least that's what happens with me. I pray in the Spirit. I'll tell you what, more than one occasion, I've laid hands on my head, and I've commanded the devil to leave, and he's left. There's other times I don't feel him going, but I begin to pray in the Spirit, and I tell you, there's a victory that comes to me when I pray in the Spirit. Hallelujah. I think about something that somebody did to me, his kids. You know, my sister told me once, we were talking about something, and she says, you know, a mother has extra grace with her kids, you know, that they can do something and you can just forgive them. I mean, you got that parent love. Well, you know, God's giving me that parent love. I never had any children, you know, and so I couldn't understand this. And so when one of my husband's kids does something to me, you know, something just riles up in me, and I just think, how do they dare do that? You know, how do they dare come in the garage and take my stuff and not tell me? And I go out looking for it and can't find it, and I spend all day looking in the garage for it, and finally just have to figure I donated it to the Olsen family, you know? I'm telling on myself. But you see, there's a problem here, because over in Psalm 113, God gave me a promise. And it was before I got married, and it was a promise I was going to get married. And he said, he settles the barren woman in her home as a happy mother of children. Now, that was a promise to me. I knew when God spoke that to me, the prophets didn't have to prophesy anymore. I had my own word from the Lord. But I knew that something was wrong if God had led me by His Spirit And I had gotten into a marriage that was ordained of him, and I wasn't happy. Because God promised that I was going to be a happy mother of children. Ladies, I want you to know I went from having no children to having 6 children, 17 grandchildren, and 28 great-grandchildren. That's the easy way. Yeah. When they call me grandma, I just walk by and, you know, think they're talking to somebody else. But when God gave me a promise that I was going to be a happy mother of children and I wasn't happy, I knew that something was wrong and it was up to me to change it. And I'll tell you, there's things in your life that may make you angry and things may not be fair, but it's up to you to say, I am not going to let that thing bind me. I'm not going to let that thing kill me. I'm not going to let that thing suck the life out of me. Amen? Y'all relate to this? Y'all got things that you can think about? We don't give place to the devil. Now, there's another scripture I want us to read over in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. I've been in enough churches to know and to see it happen. There's one person that's got a gripe against the pastor, or it's got a gripe with somebody in the church, and there's always somebody there who's going to give ear to what they have to say. And pretty soon you got this whole faction that is upset, and the two factions are fighting against each other. That's what the Apostle Paul, I believe, is talking about, where many would be defiled. You think this thing that you're laboring with is just your problem, but I'll tell you what, it's affecting everybody around you. And, you know, I love to be around somebody where you look at them and the grace of God just exudes from them. Don't you love that? I mean, you go and you just like to stand next to them. You feel the Spirit of God on them. I like that. And I was thinking to myself, I want people to feel that way about me. I want them to feel the Spirit of God around me and not to feel the bitterness that I have held in my heart against different individuals. And, you know, if God is speaking to you tonight, He will show you the bitternesses that you've had against different people. When the Lord first started showing me this after my husband said what he did, I'll tell you what, He began to show me bitternesses that I had against fellow students when I was in high school. And I'll tell you what, that's been a long time ago. I didn't think I had any bitterness. You know, I've been all through all kinds of deliverance. I mean, I thought everything had been covered. You stay at this campground long enough, and things are going to be covered. You know, but I didn't have the understanding of some of the things that were working in my heart. Sometimes we're not ready for deliverance. Amen. And when we get ready, I'll tell you what, Jesus is already standing there. Think about Joseph in the Old Testament. Think what happened to him. You know, he could have sat there and been in that prison in Egypt and been filled with animosity towards his brothers that sold him. He could have let that thing rise up in him and churn and work in his heart. He wouldn't have found any favor with Pharaoh if he had had that kind of an attitude, would he? There wouldn't have been any favor with him. And when the day came that he was face to face with his brothers, think what that, you know, we talk about Joseph having an attitude towards his brothers. Think about that thing that their brothers carried for all those years. Think of the guilt that they carried, you know, seeing their father grieving for all these years and knowing that they're responsible for it and they are carrying that thing. I don't know this, but I bet there was a lot of fighting among those brothers because they were holding guilt in their heart, holding these things in their heart, trying to keep a family secret. And Joseph was able to say to his brothers, you know, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And think for a moment about some of the things that, you know, you went through as a young person. Invariably, when we minister to somebody, it's not usually about something that happened just a week ago or a month ago or 2 months ago. It's usually something like 20 years ago, 30 years ago. And it's just as fresh in somebody's mind as if it had happened yesterday. We could be like Stephen. I can't imagine somebody killing me and saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And I'll tell you what, when we begin to have that kind of an attitude, it will loosen the log jams in our life and in our family's life. Praise God. When you think that when Stephen was saying, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do, who's standing over on the sidelines watching? The Apostle Paul was over there. Perhaps he heard Stephen saying that, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus on the cross in his agony, looking down and saying, "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing." You know, there's a fellow I know, and his line is, "It's not fair." I really feel it's a demon talking. "It's not fair. It's not fair." Now, this man is an adult. He is a businessman. He's a successful businessman. Man has a beautiful home, has a nice family, two homes, all kinds of accessories to his homes, boats and snowmobiles and everything. And he's an aggressive businessman, but the thing that drives him is it's not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair that this other person should have this and I don't have it. It's not fair that my sister, my parents paid her way through college and didn't pay my way, though they could afford it. And that thing works on him and works on him and works on him. And you know what? He's got a daughter, young daughter, not quite 10 years old yet. And you know what she says? She's got some sisters and brothers. She's saying, "It's not fair. It's not fair." And I realize that's a familiar spirit that is just being passed right on down through the family, like it was in my family. And, you know, the fellow, he says he loves the Lord. I'd love to see deliverance come to his life. I'd love to see it. He's bound up. He's in chains. He's not a happy individual. And yet he says he loves Jesus. Those two don't go together. Amen. How many tonight want to be free of bitterness? How many want to be free of resentment, unforgiveness? You have to make a choice. There are people that have hurt you that are in the grave. You know it? They're in the grave. And there are other people who have hurt you that don't even know that they've hurt you. And you're holding on to a grudge against them, and they're going on their merry way just having the time of their life. I got a letter one time from somebody. I didn't know I had grieved them. I didn't know that I had offended them. And years down the road, they wrote me a letter, and it was filled with all kinds of bitterness and resentment. And all those years, I had just lived, you know, in La La Land, not knowing that I had offended this person. Of course, I felt bad when I found out, you know, and I had to write a letter back and say, "Forgive me, I'm so sorry," you know. But they were the ones that were hurting, and if they had been able to just let go of it and get a hold of the grace of God. Listen, life is too short. And you want to know something? I'll tell you something else. Some things just aren't worth it. In light of eternity, some things aren't worth it. You know, I yell at my husband, "Oh, you're bringing dirt in on the carpet and our new carpet." And I go down the basement, we got some more new carpet, and his shoes were dirty all the way down. And here's this great big old blotch on our brand new carpet. You know what happens. And I looked at that and I said something to him, and he just kind of got out of the room, and I thought, "Wait a minute, Linda, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's not worth having a fight over. It's not worth it. What's it doing? It's taking my peace." And the enemy will use that to take your peace. Most of the fights we have aren't worth it, really, in your family. Most of the conflicts with people aren't worth it in the light of eternity. I couldn't understand that when I was young, but I can understand it better now. That most things just are not. I'd like you to just shake off the heavy bands tonight. Shake off the heavy bands. Come on, stand up. We'll let you go a little early tonight. Some of you have been traveling all day. Get some rest and be ready for 6 o'clock in the morning. Amen. Shake off those heavy bands. Lift up your those holy hands. Let all God's children praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Every bit of bitterness, every bit of unforgiveness, every bit of rage, oh, we cast it off and away from us. We bind those demons up in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, just pray it with me. "Father, forgive me for harboring bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment in Jesus' name. I repent. And I forgive those who have sinned against me in Jesus' name. Amen." Now I just take your forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Just shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off your hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Shall I call it out? Praise the Lord. You ready to get rid of it now? We're going to call it out. You've asked the Father for forgiveness. He's forgiven you. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, we call all the bitterness out. spirits of bitterness, loosen them and come out in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. Come on. Every spirit of bitterness, little bitterness, old, that bitterness has been there for a long, long time. Come on out of there in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word says every name that has a name bows to the name of Jesus. And all that bitterness and hurt and anger and unforgiveness, resentment, come on out of there now. Let them go. Take a real deep breath. Let's come on. Let's breathe these things out. In the name of Jesus, come on out of there. Take a deep breath. Now exhale. Inhale. Exhale. Get them out. Come on. All of it out. In Jesus' name. Bitterness, unforgiveness, hatred, unlove, resentment. Let them go. Come on out of there. Let them go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we bind the powers of darkness. Every spirit has to go. Every hurt. Imagine hurt again that someone has done to you. Loosen it now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, cast them down. All every thought that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Come on out. All the unforgiveness and bitterness, let them go. Resentment, spirits of resentment, turn them loose. Come on out there. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, all the resentment. All the resentment, rejection, it comes in with it. Come on out of there. All the rejection, let them go. Bitterness, unforgiveness, and resentment. In the name of Jesus, and all the hurt. All the hurts. Come on out of there. In Jesus' name, let them go. Let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot stay. You cannot stay. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, come on, take one more real deep breath. Let's get it all out. In the name of Jesus, come on out of there. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, loosen them. Loosen them. Loosen them. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We loosen every spirit from you right now in Jesus' name. Turn them loose and come on out of there. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on out of there. All of it. All of it. Turn them loose. Bitterness, resentment. That root of bitterness. That root of bitterness. Let's get that root out. Come on. We call that root of bitterness out now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes every spirit of bitterness. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Okay. Okay. Now, everybody raise your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to fill afresh and anew by your Holy Spirit every place where the spirits have come out, everywhere every hurt has been, every root of bitterness, fill afresh and anew now in Jesus' name. Let the anointing, Father, let that anointing come forth in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you now. We just thank you for filling each one afresh and anew. Let that anointing come forth and dry up every root of bitterness and every resentment in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord. We just thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. G-E maybe. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let all God's people praise the Lord. Shake off those heavy bands. Lift up your holy hands. Let all God's people praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let all God's children praise the Lord. Shake off those heavy bands. Lift up your holy hands. Let all God's children praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let all God's people praise the Lord. Shake off those heavy bands. Lift up your holy hands. Let all God's people praise the Lord. Once more. Okay? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let all God's children praise the Lord. Shake off those heavy bands. Lift up your holy hands. Let all God's children praise the... Oh, let's do it again. Come on. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let all God's children praise the Lord. Shake off those heavy bands. Lift up your holy hands. Let all God's children praise the... Okay, you're getting it. Sing it again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let all God's children praise the Lord. Shake off those heavy bands. Lift up your holy hands. Let all God's people praise the Lord. I want to do it again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let all God's children praise the Lord. Shake off those heavy bands. Lift up your holy hands. Let all God's children praise the Lord. Now, some of you may not think anything's happened, but I'll tell you what. Satan's been exposed. His kingdom has been exposed. You are, as Mildred said tonight, you're kings and priests to the Lord. You've got a higher calling than being bound by such earthly things. You know, when you see yourself in the light of how God sees you, you're going to bring down strongholds. Amen. You're going to bring down dominions. You're going to bring down strongholds over cities, over areas, over states, over countries. That power is within you. Do you hear that? It's within you. I don't care how little you are. I don't care how feeble you are. I don't care how shy you are. You have that ability that God has put within you. Don't give place to the devil. Don't hinder the moving of God's Spirit upon you by letting bitterness take a foothold in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, Father, we just pray tonight. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this word. We thank you and we believe that even as we sleep, that you're going to show us things in the night hour, things that have been hidden and secret and concealed, where maybe we didn't even remember. And Father, we ask that you seal the work of your Holy Spirit tonight around us, Lord. Bind it around our necks, right on the tablets of our hearts. I pray, God, that you give a good night's rest to these ladies, Lord. And Father, we just ask that you go with them, protect them, God, and be with them. And Lord, I just want to pray one more thing. I really feel we need to pray over familiar spirit. I have a familiar spirit in me, I feel, for bitterness. And I think that was a real key, you know. Father, we just ask, Lord, for a complete deliverance tonight from the familiar spirit, the bitterness in our bloodlines, Father, that have been passed down from our fathers and our mothers' bloodlines. Lord, it's an iniquity. And Father, we ask that you release us from the power of that iniquity and that the blood of Jesus would wash and cleanse those sins that have been passed down to us. Father, we're asking, Lord, that you would cleanse and purify. I pray, Lord, that you would bind every familiar... Say this, lady. I bind every familiar spirit that works in and around me and in my home. I've had enough, devil. And I put the blood of Jesus against you and over you. And I rebuke you. And I sever the power of the iniquity that I've inherited. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I roll up my spiritual sleeves and I say, devil, you're a liar. I choose this night not to live in bitterness, not to yield to people who are bitter, but I'm going on with God and I'm asking that you release your blessings upon us. In the name of Jesus, that log jam that has been in our blessings, in our pocketbooks, in our spiritual blessings, release the log jam as Linda preached tonight. Release it, Father, in our families. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you for the word of the Lord that sets us free. We thank you, Lord. We thank you and we praise you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We give you glory. Let's praise Him, ladies.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise you, Father! Glory to God! Glory to God! Glory to God! We praise you, Father! We thank you, Lord! We thank you, Father, for your truth that sets us free! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus! Amen! Amen!
Ladies, go in peace tonight. Go in peace. Get some rest. We'll see you at 6 o'clock in the morning. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.